محمد وآله. For the love of Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, arwahuna lahu al-fida, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Umma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali. A'udhu billahi as-sami' al-alim min ash-shaytan al-la'in al-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, innahu khayru nasirin wa mu'in. ثم الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صل على محمد طب القلوب ودوائها ونور أبصارها وعلى أهل بيته الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا صل على محمد وآل محمد. First of all, we thank Allah Azza wa Jal once again for giving us this moment and this opportunity. And as we all know, today being the day of Arba'een, of the martyrdom of our beloved Master and Savior and his beloved companions and household. In the last 12 nights, we had a series of discussions. And the main theme for the discussion, if you recall very well, was individual reformation and community development. And I'm sure all of you followed the series of the lectures and the topics that we selected for this theme. We tried our level best to touch on personal self-development and on community development. And our inspiration is no doubt the main teaching of our beloved Master Abba Abdullah. We all inspired by that message of Imam al-Hussein, which is the message of reform. I have to reform, you have to reform. And Imam al-Hussein made it very clear, I am out not for me to be praised, and not for any ulterior motive, and not for any mischievous, but innama kharajtu li talab al-islah. So that islah is our inspiration. And if you remember very well, the first night we discussed the manifestations of the house of Alawi and Fatimi. And during that discussion, we highlight on some key points that we have to learn from the house of Imam Ali alayhi salam and Bibi Fatima. Salli ala Muhammadin wa ala. And the central to that discussion, if you remember, was spirituality. The house of Fatima was a spiritual house. And the house of Ali alayhi salam was a spiritual house. And number two, Fatima alayhi salam focused on the tarbiyah of her children. And one example which I gave on that first night was that Bibi alayhi salam would, in the middle of the night, pray and make dua for her neighbors. Then Hassan alayhi salam would ask his beloved mother, "Oh mom, why do you always pray for yourself?" Of course, Imam Hassan knew. But the thing is, Imam wanted to teach us. So Fatima said, "Al-jaru thumma dar." House first, no, neighbor first before the house. So Fatima taught Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam and Abba Abdullah on how to reach out to others. On the second night, we look at a question. Is the movement of Abba Abdullah revolution or is a way of life and civilization? And I concluded by saying it's a way of life. Meaning, we have to try as much as we can to beautify our lives and to illuminate our lives with the teachings established by Abba Abdullah al-Hussein in Karbala al-Muqaddasa. And then we move on to a topic which is about personal development and at the same time community development. That is the spirit of taking a lead and the spirit of taking initiative in our lives. And we discuss how important it is to take a lead. But I gave you a criteria and a standard of taking a lead. Or if you want to start any initiative, Islam has a requirement. Once those requirements are met, then you can regard your initiative as a genuine and positive initiative. One of it is why you have to be, you have to know what you are putting yourself in. But the key part of it is ikhlas. Are you sincere? I want to take a lead in the community. I want to organize a workshop. I want to lead the youth to do something. I want to help in the community. I want to encourage people to come for namaz. I want to encourage people to wake up for tahajjud. Am I sincere in telling people or I'm not sincere? So therefore, understand whatever initiative you take, the most important thing is to be sincere. And if you remember, I give an example of Umar ibn Sa'ad. He was the first person to throw fire on the camp of Abu Abdullah. And when he was doing that, he said, no, because I want you, when you go to the court of Amir al-Mu'minin, they said, Yazid Amir al-Mu'minin, my name should be the first name to be mentioned. So we said, no, there is no ikhlas and it's not khayra. And then we went ahead to look at the inner peace and frustration in dealing with challenges. That is as-sakina wal-jaza' fi muwajahat al-ahdath. How do we deal with issues in our life? And if you remember at the end, I focus on one key point, which I said is tawakkul ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In anything that you face in your life, believe in yourself and don't ever get discouraged. Don't be demotivated. But what will help you not to be discouraged and to be demotivated is tawakkul ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to depend solely on Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have Allah with you, nothing will stop you. And Rasulullah in one beautiful tradition says, if the whole world will declare enmity against you, and wherever you go, nobody will welcome you and look at you with smiling face. But Rasulullah said, if Allah is pleased with you, you should not have a sleepless night. The problem is, you see, we make people criteria. That's why we have sleepless night. If he's not happy, then I find it very difficult. I cannot sleep the whole night. But if you make Allah happy and your aim is to please him, there is nothing of this dunya which will make you unhappier. Hence Rasulullah in the riwayah said, if all declare their love and allegiance to you and Allah is not pleased with you, you should have a lot of sleepless night because it's a waste of time. And then we got to a discussion on the epistemology of dua and the power of dua in our life, where we focus more on the philosophy of dua. We said the first philosophy of dua is to help us to audit ourselves. Because you have so many people, they want to tell you, you are wrong, this is right, this is wrong, this is right. But dua is to take us back to self-audit. And then of course we said the second one, dua help us to do away with pride and kibur and arrogance. And of course, we mention things to do for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to accept your dua. And we then discuss about becoming ambitious personality. And we said, indeed, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was very ambitious. Hence, when he was going, whoever asked him, why are you taking children? Why are you taking women? Imam Hussein would say, my aim is Allah. So, yani, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam had a very big ambition. And his ambition was to please Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, we spoke about the diseases of the heart. And we mentioned about the causes of the disease of the heart, if you remember very well. I said the signs of having a disease of the heart is that when you make salah, you don't enjoy. How many of us make salah and you enjoy? Billahi, like between you and Allah. We don't enjoy. Dua Kumail just been recited. How many of us truly enjoyed it and felt it inside their heart? Harmful few. How many of us, when we make dua, we become so much happy? So he said, if you're not happy whenever you make ibadah, then it's a sign of having a disease of the heart. And I gave you one major sign. I said, we attend so many majalis, but nothing is appealing to our heart. Then, of course, I give the causes. One of the causes is undermining sin. And another cause is not making sincere tawbah. And then, of course, I gave you some remedy when it comes to that. And the main remedy which I give is to have a willpower. And I prescribe for you what to do to strengthen your willpower and what to do to weaken your willpower. One of the things, if you do it, weakens your willpower is to give up. Yes, ruhul yas, giving up. And one of the things to do to strengthen your willpower is to insist in doing something until you reach there. So therefore, that is also very, very important. We need to take note of that. And then, of course, we went ahead to look at a very important topic. Am I really preparing for the coming of Imam al-Zaman? Am I ready? I mentioned on that night, we are not ready. Allah, we are not ready. Allahumma kulli waliyyika, every day we recite. We are not ready. Because if we are ready, Allah will release him. Why should he keep him for what? When Iraqis are suffering, Syrians are suffering, Pakistanis are getting killed every day because they are Shia. We are not ready. And I advise more on things to do. And I advise you, the youth, all learn about your aqidah in this zaman al Ghaibat al Qubra. Go to madrasa, learn about your aqidah. Why Ahlul Bayt are ma'asum? Why I'm not ma'asum? And then why Allah decided to choose them? So we should all go back to madrasa and keep on learning. And I gave you, of course, categorization of the ignorance, where Imam Ali said, compound ignorant are those who distract us. Because he doesn't know, and he doesn't know that he doesn't know. And of course, last night, we discussed about our beloved mom, Zainab Salamullahi Alayha. So in short, these are the series of lectures that we had. And now I want to give you the opportunities. I received, alhamdulillah, so many questions through the email created by the Jamaat. And I tried my level best to answer those questions. So if you have any question from the series of my lectures, primarily, and if you don't have, you can ask whatever you want to ask. I don't have a problem. If I can, I will respond, inshallah. Then inshallah we'll have khitamuhu misk, a good conclusion inshallah, after hearing your questions inshallah. Then it will give us an indication. Or else, if you do not have questions, I have so many questions to ask you inshallah. One question, yes, okay. One question someone asked me, so I let him respond it. Maybe it will set the pace and you'll get motivated to ask me. You should bombard me with questions, and then I can also bombard you with questions inshallah. Now, someone asked me a very beautiful question just before I came in. That, Sheikh, you give all these lectures, and your main focus is to reform us. If you are to summarize whatever you said in 3 lines, what will you tell me so that I can start working on it? So, because I want to start working on something, but I cannot take all at the same time. So what do I have to do? So I told him, when we come in, I will answer. There are 3 things I want to share with you. And these are very important. And this would mark as a point of departure. You want to change? Fine. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Allah will not change the conditions of people until they change what is in their heart and what is in their soul. 3 practical approach I want to give you. And take note of these 3 things. And inshallah, start working on them slowly. Kidogo, kidogo, inshallah, Allah will help us, inshallah. You know, one good thing about Allah is that He doesn't want you to do everything overnight. He only wants you to see you making a move and making determination. That's what Allah wants. Allah is not like I and you. You expect me to become malaika overnight. I expect you to become a malaika overnight. Allah is not like that. Allah's rahmah is such that He wants you to have that niyat and willingness. I want to change. I want to try. So the first point. Scholars mention al-iqrar. What is al-iqrar? Iqrar means what? After all these series of lectures that we had, find a day or a night in your house or even at your workplace, wherever. In the coming days, try to do that. It will help a lot, inshallah. Sit in one corner. And then you start the first step. Al-Aqrar. What is Al-Aqrar? I know myself, Nur Muhammad. I know myself. Now, don't even allow your husband or your wife to listen to you. Because if you are blind, you cannot guide a blind. So first, sort out yourself before you start heading towards others. So you're going to begin with yourself. This is simple strategy scholars prescribe. First, I know myself, Nur Muhammad. Salat, sometimes, I know, I'm not that good with salah. Now you're just talking to yourself. And I know I gossip too much. I gossip. And I know I don't appreciate people. You know, I don't. So you try to outline all those shortfalls which you have. Then the first step is what? You pledge. It's al-iqrar, what does mean? You pledge and make niyat. From now onwards. Allah is your shahid. Allah is the witness and Imam al-Zaman. Nobody else. I'm going to make sure I try my level best with my salah. I'm not going to add any other thing. Only this salat, I'm going to work on it for maybe 1 year. But as I mentioned last night, 40 days you try. But don't worry, you can do it 1 year. I want to work on this. That is what we call al-iqrar. Iqrar meaning I intend, I pledge, I want to change. And I will lie, I tell you, Allah will help you. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلًا. Allah will help you. Second, you are not adding anything. The second practical step is a muraqabah. What is muraqabah? You then supervise yourself. You've intended not to miss your salah. You've intended to go to the mosque. You've intended to wear your hijab from now onwards. You've intended to stop backbiting. You've intended to become someone very good. You're not telling anyone to become a riya. You are now talking to yourself and Allah is the witness. So what you do muraqabah. You supervise yourself. How do you supervise yourself? Whenever you see yourself going against your intention, you draw attention to yourself again. You're just talking to yourself. And then, of course, the last one, which you all know, is muhasaba, self-judgment. Some, as I told in one of my lectures, some every night they judge themselves before they sleep. It takes 5 minutes, 10 minutes to judge yourself. You sit on the bed that you're going to sleep after your wudu, because we are told whoever sleep with wudu, he will be given the reward of the one who is in salah until you wake up in the morning. So now, after your wudu, you sit on your bed. And then you judge yourself. I pledge to stop gossiping. I pledge to wear my hijab. I pledge to perform my salah. I woke up in the morning, 6 o'clock. I'm back to my bed, 8 p.m., 10 p.m. Have I gossiped today? Have I done my salah? So you keep on doing that. With these three steps, inshallah, intention, niyyah, and then supervision, self-supervision, and then self-judgment. Inshallah, slowly, Allah will help you, and then we'll be able to achieve the aim, inshallah. Now, Haji Jafar.
Assalamu alaikum. Sorry. Yeah, we make these intentions that we've heard over the series of 12 lectures, and wherever we found that we have our shortcomings, we will try and rectify the situation. After a period of time, we find that we have developed. We find it difficult sometimes if we see others making the mistake to try and correct them. Is it our responsibility? Because I know myself I have some shortcomings, but I've seen others. I have tried to improve myself, but do I have the right to approach somebody else to
Thank you so much. It is a very good question. Do I have the right to correct others? Although I have also some shortcomings, but I'm trying my level best to correct myself. Yes. As I mentioned earlier on, the question of dua is about self-audit. Self-audit doesn't mean that you don't correct others when they are wrong. Self-audit simply means you don't point fingers to others. Correcting is different from pointing fingers. There are people, they just label you and point fingers towards you. You are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong. That is what dua is against. Dua said, don't point fingers to people. If you cannot correct them in a very humble way, then you cannot point fingers towards them. Leave Allah to judge them. But now the question of Haji Akhtar is, can I correct them? Yes, you can correct them. That is in the spirit of Amr bil Ma'aruf and Nahi anil Munkar. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنَهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Quran made it very clear. Let group amongst you go out, promote righteousness and forbid evilness. So definitely you have the right. You have the right to correct them. But how do you correct them? That is very, very important. It's not about correcting someone. It's how you correct the person. Quran made it very clear on how to correct one another when you find wrong in us. Quran said, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikma wal maw'izati al hasana wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan." Allah is now talking to beloved Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. If you want to call them to deen, to your mission, call them with wisdom. Wisdom requires sabr. With them dictate, take your time. If it entails debating with them, Allah tells Rasul, jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Debate with them in the best possible way, in the best way. Yani in a humble way, in a humble manner. So therefore, very, very important. I was telling the ECL volunteers this afternoon, we had a sitting with them. I was telling them, even scholars mention, khayrun nasiha ma kanat al-infirad. The best form of advising and correcting one another is to do it with the person separately alone. You see somebody coming in front of people, you defaming his character. Even if he's wrong, Islam says you are wrong. So therefore, definitely we have to correct. But I found it the best way to correct people is to correct them with our akhlaq and behavior. Therefore, Imam Jafar made it very clear, kunu lana zainan wala takunu alayna shayna. Become beautiful and good examples for us. Meaning, when people see your akhlaq and they see your behavior, the moment you start talking, they will realize that what you're telling them, you have already implemented it in your life. And Amir al-Mu'min made it very clear. Man ja'ala, one riwayah said, man nasaba nafsahu imama falyabda bitarbiyati nafsih. Whoever makes himself a leader to correct people and to guide people, he should begin with himself. If I tell you change, that change should be seen in my life, then it will have a greater impact on you. But if I tell you for the sake of telling you, and I personally do not strive to change, then it's a waste of time and it's a waste of energy. So we ask Allah to help us, inshallah. Now.
I do believe the ladies have a mic now. So do we have any questions from the ladies?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
How does one build a relationship with Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu faraja, especially since he is in occultation?
Salamullahi alayhi. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammadin. We have different types of relationship, my mom, which we can build and establish with our beloved Imam. In the night I spoke about Imam, I highlighted on some of those factors. But now I'm going to give you a very different approach in a very simple way on how to build a relationship with our beloved Imam. And this relationship, scholars call it alaqatu ishq, love relationship with Imam. Most of us don't have a love relationship with Imam al-Zaman, unfortunately. And as I told you the other night, we believe he's alive. Like the way you believe your son is alive. But if your son travels to Karbala, you miss him so much. Every night you sleep, you make dua for him. Do you remember Imam al-Zaman like that? May God forbid, when your son fails in one of his exams, in one of his tests, you cannot sleep at night. If your husband or your wife happen to travel, whether to Iraq or anywhere, you miss the person. Do you miss Imam al-Zaman? This is the question we need to ask ourselves. Hence, I gave a lecture last night in Dar es Salaam in my, you know, Muharram lectures, which I ask a question. Who is waiting for who? Is Imam waiting for us or we are waiting for Imam? There was a lecture I gave last night, I remember, last year in Dar es Salaam, Muharram. Who is waiting for who? It's a long series of lectures, but then at the end I concluded by saying, Imam is waiting for us, we are not waiting for Imam. Imam is waiting for us. Well, I and you, we just laughing, man. Imam is the one waiting for us. He's in pain. He wants to come out. But Noor and you are not ready. So you have to put it the other way around. We are not waiting because I don't see any sense of urgency in me and in you. When you need something and you mean it, it will be shown on your faces. Imam Amir al-Mu'minin mentioned one riwayah. Whatever is hidden in somebody's heart, one day it will be shown on his face. Imam said, "Falatate lisani." Imam Ali said, to the extent that he will start talking about it without his consent. So Imam is waiting for us every day. That's why we have one great marja. Some said Ayatullah in Naini, some said it wasn't him. Al-Muhim. They said every Friday, if he had to give lecture on member, he would cry. He would spend like 5 minutes crying. So he would then explain to the audience as to why he was crying. He would say, you know why? Because we all know Imam al-Zaman will reappear on Friday. One Friday has passed and he's not there. Meaning we are going to Quran, we are sinners. Ayatullah would cry. Because we are promising the riwayat, so many riwayat, Imam will reappear on Friday. So he said, every Friday we expect him to come. But he doesn't come. So whose fault is that? I told you, it is not the fault of the provider. The provider provides every single second. The receiver doesn't know how to receive. I and you don't know how to tap on the mercy of Allah. We don't know. We just claim to know. Wallah, we don't know. If we know, one Fatiha alone is enough to bring Imam. Sharif al-Radawi, the one who compiled Nahjul Balagha. You heard his story about Surah Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Had a servant, a student. They used to learn in his class. Some said it's not Sharif al-Radawi, it's the teacher of Sayyid al-Radawi called Sayyid al-Murtada. So he used to teach them, but the students, some of them had to travel through water, but they used to take these small boats to get to the class. So one of them would always come late. So one day, Sayyid Murtada asked him, why do you come late for classes? He said, no, I stay across the river, and every morning I had to wait. So Sayyid Murtada called him, he said, okay, fine. I'm going to give you some solution to your problem, so that you can come to the class on time. So he wrote something on a piece of paper. He did not show him what he wrote. He gave it to him. He said, please don't open. Because I want to show you how insane is. And because of that, is delaying the coming of Imam. He said, don't open this paper, please. Just keep it with you. And then when you are going, when you get to the water, just put it in your pocket. You'll find yourself crossing without any problem, and you'll not be wet, you'll come. You don't need any boat anymore. So he gave him. This fellow, the next day he came, walked on it, went to class, the first person to enter. Second day, fine, but you know, insan. He reached home the second night, he said, I need to open this and see. Because this is a small paper. Insan, la dhulumun kafar, insan, maskin, wallah. He opened, then he saw what was written. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Only. He said, If it is Bismillah, then everybody can do it. Maulana, you wrote Bismillah. So you put that paper somewhere. Then he took another paper. He wrote his own Bismillah. He folded nicely, put it in his pocket. He came wet completely. This is a real story. Eh? Got wet. He tried diving here and there. Okay, mashallah. If he got to the place, he went. Sayyid Murtada saw him wet. But Sayyid knew. So Sayyid was smiling here and there. So after, and he came late on that day. So Sayyid asked him, Gosson, why you came late and why you are wet? So he bowed down like this. He says, and you open? He said, yes, I open. Then I wrote Bismillah, but when I came, I couldn't. He said, but I told you. You know what hikmah we learn here? Simple things that we have, Bismillah, if we understand it properly and apply them in our lives, we will always see the mercy of Allah. Same thing that we have. So therefore, Imam Zaman is like that. Number one, my mom, which we need to do to build that relationship, alaqatu ishq. Ishq is very important. Because when you have that love relationship with Imam, you will feel the presence of Imam. And Imam will come next to you. Maybe in the majlis, who knows? Maybe during salah. Number one, safa'ul qalb. Purification of the heart. But here, scholars, when they say safa'ul, what do they mean? Meaning you, she, as your relationship with one another. How is it? All of us, we come to the mosque. We come to Imam Bara. Allahumma kulli walika. Everybody makes salawat, salawat, salawat. But his heart is not clean towards you. Your du'as will not reach Imam Zaman. Forget it. And this is one of our biggest challenge. Wallahi. I come salawat, salawat. We hug. But what is in my heart is in my heart. It means it's hypocrisy. Nifaq. So number one, my heart has to be pure towards the lovers of Imam who every day and night call out and call in. Ya sahib al-zaman, Allahumma kulli waliyika. If we are together and our hearts are one and we all open our hearts and call Imam, Allah will release Imam. If not, Allah will bring Imam next to you and you will feel the presence of Imam al-zaman. So number one is safa'ul qalb. Purification of the heart. Hence Quran said very clear in Quran, you read the Quran. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah don't put a gill, small drop of hatred and enmity towards mu'mineen. So number one, my mom, if you want to establish love relationship with Imam of our time, make sure your heart is clean and pure with ever she is. That's number one. Number two, at-taharatu min adh-dhunub. Stay away from sins. Sin, Imam Amir mentioned, instead of making a lot of tahajjud, reciting so many Quran, doing a lot of ibadah, the best thing to do is to stay away from sins rather than adding more and you still a sinner. You see now, why making tahajjud? So number two, to establish love relationship with the beloved Imam of our time, at-tahara min adh-dhunub. You remember I quoted a very beautiful riwayah from Imam Jafar. Lawla dhunub shi'atina lara'awna bil'ayn. Imam Jafar said, if not because of the sins of our Shia, they would have seen us with their naked eyes. The sin is a veil. It is blocking us. We cannot see Imam. Since when you are a Shia? Since how many million times I'm sure you recited Allahumma kulli walika in your life? What is the effect of it? What's the effect? When one Christian, you remember I mentioned Wahab al-Kalbi, one Christian, only on their way to Karbala, he saw Aba Abdullah with Sakina, with Hamida, with Zainab, with Imam Zain al-Abidin, with Bakir alayhi salam. Because of the dua of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Christians had to join Aba Abdullah, and the wife was the first Shahida of Karbala. We need only that heart which is totally against sin. So that is number two, my mom. Number three, which I made ishara on that night of the lecture, is al-hadiyya. Hadiyya tuturithul mahabba. Hadiyya causes love. Which type of hadiyya? Not the hadiyya maulana, this member hadiyya. Not that one. Not that one. No. We are talking some extra large hadiyya. Not small large hadiyya. This hadiyya, meaning you give hadiyya to Imam al-Zaman. How? Go for Hajj in his name. I've been going for Hajj. This year, my Hajj, all is for Imam. Does he need it? No. What does it mean? When you love someone and you show that love practically, the person will come close to you. Not only that, I cannot go for Hajj. Fine. I'm going for the ziyarah of Aba Abdullah. This year's ziyarah is for Imam al-Zaman. It's like you're throwing the ball on the wall and the ball is coming back to you. Not only that, two rak'at. When last did you do two rak'at adiya for Imam al-Zaman? Can you recollect? When last two rak'at adiya just Imam al-Zaman? That will show the sense of urgency. So number three is adiya. Give sadaqah. Build orphanage. This is for Imam al-Zaman. My business. I'm starting a new business. This is for Imam al-Zaman. What does it mean? If I make profit, no, it's not home's issue. It was, I almost have to pay. I don't have a choice. But when I make some profit, chunk of this money, I divide here and there. It will go to the project in the name of Imam al-Zaman. Let's do it and see if Imam al-Zaman will not come. So number three, hadiya. Not that Surah Al-Fatiha for the safety of Imam al-Zaman. Allah will protect him, but for the safety is for your own benefit. That will show, really, you are preparing for Imam al-Zaman. Number four, which we mentioned, al-Dhikr al-Khafi, which came in the dua of our fourth Imam. Wa anisna bi-Dhikr al-Khafi. Allah console us with a hidden remembrance. What is hidden remembrance? We have it amongst ourselves. You, I, and I believe Imam is alive. Who knows? He's sitting next to us. Who knows? Now, this hidden remembrance meaning, whatever you do, my mom, whatever of value, be it small or big, connect it to Imam al-Zaman. How? I'm invited to recite majlis. I am going only if Imam al-Zaman is happy. Ya Allah, if Imam will be happy, just give me that motivation from the unseen world for me to go. But if Imam is not happy, bring problems for me not to be able to go. This shows you are determined. You are putting him in your life. Ya Allah, I want to get married. Proposals are coming. Losing the proposals. I go because some fathers will give you interview for 3 hours, like interview or entering Jannah. You know, some interview, they put the tie nicely. Where are you working? How much do you earn every month? Let me see. Baba, if Allah will do that, nobody will enter Jannah, man. Ilahi amilna bi fadlika wa la tu'amilna bi adlika ya kareem. If Allah has to do justice to us, none of us will enter Jannah. So Imam al-Zaman, I'm going to get married. Imam, Allah, I know you have unseen power. You can motivate things. If Imam is happy by me getting married to this girl or getting married to this boy, let it happen. We are looking for children. We married 5 years, no child. Making dua, this Maulana come new Taweez. This Maulana, another safe of Taweez is open. That other one, multiple Taweez. Hake Shifa, whatever. Zamzam water, Forat. Ya Allah, so many things. These are all good, don't get me wrong. But the best one is what? Allah, if you give me this child, I will make him go to the mosque and give service to Imam al-Zama. Maybe become Muki in the future for the sake of Imam al-Zama. Maybe help with the mashals, with the car parking for the key for Imam. Ya Allah, I will put his name Mahdiyul Muntazar. I give this child to Imam al-Zama. Do that and see. You will see the wonders of Imam. So that will bring Imam closer to you, my mom. Huh? And the last but not least. There are so many points, but the last but not least is that. Let the pain of Imam al-Zaman become your pain. What does it mean? You know, we are told in the riwayah by the Sif Imam, whenever one Shia commit a sin, Imam go to Rupin. So you, as a Shia of Imam al-Zaman, when you see a Shia committing a sin, that person shouldn't become a laughing stock. Should become a worrying factor. I'm worried. This is a member of the nation of Imam al-Zaman. If a family member or your son goes out and misrepresented your house, how do you feel? You feel bad. You cannot sleep. Especially when he goes to your employers and then he misrepresented you in front of your employer. How do you feel? Say, when I may lose the job, man. He's tainting the image of our family. Even your son get married to a girl or your daughter, the first month, second month, you want to hear feedback. Sindio, you want to get a good feedback. Now, the bigger house is the house and the family of Imam al-Zaman. You are Shi'i. Are you happy when one Shia misrepresent Imam al-Zaman? So let his alam pain become your pain. One, inshallah, mama, we put these few things in that, inshallah, it will help us to be able to prepare for the coming of our beloved Imam. And of course, last important point is about Salah, which scholars highlight more on it, that if you want Imam al-Zaman to get closer to you, don't joke with mosque and your Salah. Because Imam al-Zaman is fond of going to the mosque. Today, our mosques are very empty. Mosques are empty. Hence, you see, ulama, when they recite the Masa'ib of Muslim bin Aqil, there is one riwayah, if you can trace all ulama who recite Masa'ib of Muslim bin Aqil, they quote the riwayah that there are three things. One riwayah said four. They complain every day to Allah. Every day. They complain. And Al Angel passed the complaint. One, a Muslim who finds himself in a strange land where he or she is not allowed to practice his religion. And not only that, on top of that, he's exposed to injustice. Angels complain on his behalf. Number two, so Muslim bin Aqil was with Muslims, 4,000, some said 12,000, went to the mosque 300 trim. By the time Salah finished, 3 people. And so I went to a community for lecture. I don't want to mention the name of the community. So we went for Isha Namaz. And wallah, maskeen imam was that bismillah and 2-3 people. So somebody come, wallah, michari Muslim bin Aqil. So michari, wallah, michari Muslim bin Aqil. So Muslim bin Aqil, 3 people. By the time he finished Salah, 1 person. By the time he go out, 0. So Muslim like that, angels complain on himself. That's number one. Number two, Quran in the house and nobody bothers to open it. That Quran, angels complain on behalf of that Quran every day. Mahjura. Quran is abandoned. Number three, a scholar who finds himself within people and nobody bothers to ask him it. Nobody is benefiting from him. The fourth one is my point. When mosque is empty, that center and that mosque, angels complain on its behalf. And Imam al-Zaman is not happy. So inshallah, brothers, let's try, and sisters, and Allah will help us, inshallah.
Hassan Sheikh, unfortunately we are out of time at the moment. I'm sure Sheikh will be able to take any questions that you may have after the program. Of course, we do thank Sheikh for his time over the last 12 nights, and we pray that he is granted the tawfiq to continue to serve in the path of our 14 masumeen. If we have a little masaib, inshallah, Sheikh, just to end the program.
Yeah, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله قالت فاطمة الزهراء عليها السلام سبت علي المصائب لو أنها سبت على الأيام سرنا لياليا. The mother of Musiba is Fatima Zahra. So tonight we say to Fatima Zahra, أعظم الله لك العزاء بولدك الحسين عليه السلام. Our condolence to you, O Fatima Zahra, on the Masa'ib, on the 40th of Aba Abdullah. Our condolence to you, O our beloved mother, on the occasion of the moment when the head of Aba Abdullah joined the body of Aba Abdullah. Narration says, the authorities of the time sent their henchmen to the house of Fatima. When they got to the house of Fatima Zahra, they stopped behind the door of Fatima Zahra. They knocked the door and asked the people of the house to come out to pay allegiance. Fatima came behind the door and responded to them, "This is the house of the daughter of Rasulullah." The response of Fatima Zahra was for them to push the door on Fatima. This pushing of the door on Fatima was later remembered by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Narration says, a lady one morning was walking in the market of Banu Umayya. All of a sudden, this lady fell down. The moment she fell down, she said, "May Allah curse the killer of Fatima Zahra." The lady was arrested. When she was arrested, one companion of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq saw her being arrested. He rushed to Imam and asked Imam to make dua for the lady to be released. The lady was released and they brought her to Imam Ja'far. Imam asked her, "Why did you curse the killer of my grandmom when you were falling down?" She said, "Wallah, oh my beloved Imam, when I was falling down, I fell on my rib. The moment I fell on my rib, I then realized the pain of Fatima Zahra." That is why Asma bint Umays reported to have said, when Amir al-Mu'mineen was making the ghusl of Fatima Zahra, all of a sudden Imam Amir cried loudly. Then she asked him, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you crying like an infant? You are the one who lifted the door of Khaybar with your hand." He said, "Oh Asma, as I'm busy making the ghusl of my beloved wife Fatima, my hand went and touched the broken rib of Fatima Zahra. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْكَلَبٍ يَنْكَلِبُونَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ." Inshallah, brothers and sisters, before we conclude, I want to make dua, inshallah, number one, for our brothers and sisters who are at the annex where the sign language is taking place during our majalis. They try, alhamdulillah, to translate our majalis to others to understand the majalis. I had the opportunity to visit them and they took me through their program and their vision for future. I want to encourage the men, especially our youth, if you get the opportunities, inshallah, which if you make niyat, Allah will give you the chance. Go and learn that sign language so that you can help, inshallah, during the majalis of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. You can help also translate that into action. That will be a big thawabul jariyah for you. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen that department, inshallah. We ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to make it easy for them, inshallah. The effort they are putting, not only to help the Jamaatia in Stanmore, they are willing to help us also back in Africa and any other community where we have people of that sort who need help. We ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to make them realize their vision, inshallah. And those who are behind them and supporting them, we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to make it easy for them, inshallah. And our boys, inshallah, these are your sons. they are doing marvelous job in this ECL, mashallah. They organize the programs right from the Muki up until the recitation of the Matam and Marcia. This afternoon, I had an interactive session with them. They are just amazing youth, inshallah. These are the future of our community. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to strengthen them, inshallah, and make it easy for them. And of course, we have the ladies' side also. Why they could not meet the ladies who are also doing well at the ECL of the ladies. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to reward them immensely, inshallah. And all of you, inshallah, those who normally come every night for our majalis, we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to strengthen us and inspire us to change positively, inshallah. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.